Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Trisha's True Crime Radio, formerly Web Sleuths Radio. Glad you're with us tonight, and today is a very special day, November 11th, Veterans Day, and of course a very big thank you to all of our wonderful veterans. Thank you for your service. Now, my dad was a veteran of the big one, son, WW2. Every Veterans Day, he would put on his veteran's hat and go with his other WW2 buddies, who all wore their hats as well, and they go to a diner to eat, you know, like a JB's Big Boy or a Village Inn. Almost without fail, someone in the restaurant would pay for their tab. Now, my dad didn't wear his hat to get a free lunch. He wasn't that kind of guy. But he always got a kick out of it because almost all the time it was somebody really young who would pay the bill. Now, to my dad, really young was somebody in their 20s or 30s. And almost without fail, the person would walk up to the table and say words to the effect of, "Thank you for your service and welcome home." I have my dad's veteran's hat here with the flag that was on his casket. The greatest generation is dying off so, so fast. Okay, on that happy, uplifting note, geez, Trish, way to kill a party. It's time for the big show. Now, tonight we have many topics, and I couldn't think of a better person to help us figure them all out than our friend Cheryl McCollum from the Cold Case Investigative Research Institute. We're going to delve into the crazy Casey Anthony again and the defamation suit against her. We'll give you a bit of an update on the Holly Bobo case, and we're going to discuss the loss of a wonderful woman, Susan Murphy Milano. But before we get to Cheryl, I do have an update on Toni Ingram. You remember Toni Ingram? Her daughter Megan died, according to the authorities, from a drug overdose. Some people say it was accidental. Some people say it was suicide. Well, before we knew all of this, Toni came on this show and told us that Megan had been stalked and harassed, and that Toni was certain Megan was killed in her bedroom that night by the person persons were stalking her, that they snuck in the house somehow and killed her. She's very heartfelt, and you understand the need for a mother to, when you, I can't imagine losing a child, but what would be worse is losing a child to suicide. It would be almost, I don't want to use the word easier, but I can't think of a better word, easier to say they were murdered than to say they committed suicide. Well, I, of course, said, "Toni, we're going to help you with this case. We'll help you get it reopened to be investigated. This is terrible," because Toni said she had all this evidence that showed the stalking and showed these people harassing Megan. Megan was 20 years old, by the way. Well, the wonderful sleuths on Web Sleuths got a hold of the public documents, and it was very apparent to most of us after we read them that what Toni said and what were the actual facts at the time were different. That doesn't mean Toni was lying. I'm not suggesting that at all. Like I said, I can't imagine walking in her shoes. You have to cut her some slack because she wants to believe this. No one could really find any evidence of this hardcore stalking. Yes, there were a few little things here and there, but nothing huge. And as far as the murder, well, Toni started suggesting that someone snuck into her house that night and forced the pills down Megan's throat. It got a little crazy, and the night before Megan died, or that night, she and Megan got into a huge fight. Megan called her a bitch, and it was very, very ugly. And then in the morning, they discovered Megan had died. What we did is we told Toni that if any new evidence is brought forth, we would look at it and always be glad to reevaluate our decision to not allow discussion of this case on Web Sleuths, because it was my opinion and my co-owner's opinion that no crime had taken place. Guess who's going to be on Dr. Phil tomorrow? Yes, Toni Ingram. Now, I don't trust talk show people because they never look as deeply into the topic as Web Sleuths members do. The exception is Nancy Grace. You know, when she talks about JonBenet Ramsey or the big cases, she knows the facts, but she's about the only one. So we can only hope that Dr. Phil is truthful with her about the evidence. In Toni's blog, she said she wasn't sure how it would look, but she was pleased with the show. So set your timers for Dr. Phil tomorrow. It should be an interesting show, to say the least. Okay, now let's go to our wonderful friend, Cheryl McCollum. Cheryl of the Cold Case Investigative Research Institute, I really appreciate you joining us tonight on Trisha's True Crime Radio. How are you?
We are great. Everything is just rolling on down here. How are you doing?
We're doing great as well. You know, we love it when you're on Nancy Grace. You're one of the sane voices, as we say, and one of the voices that that speaks the truth and is logical, and that's what we love on Web Sleuths. We don't want the drama. We just want the logic. Okay, first up, Cheryl, I want to talk about someone that we both knew, and that is Susan Murphy Milano. Susan passed away a few weeks ago from cancer. It was my understanding that when she was first diagnosed, she did not have insurance and couldn't get proper treatment. I don't know if that actually contributed to her death. I would assume so. Mm-hmm. But it's just horrible that that happened, because the world has lost an amazing crusader. And Susan's life story is absolutely shocking. And I'm going to jump ahead to one of the bigger points of Susan's story. She overcame so much. That's what's so amazing about Susan Murphy Milano.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's what she dealt with. A horribly abusive father, and a father who killed her mother. Susan found her mother's body after he killed her, and then I believe he killed himself. Cheryl, do you know?
Correct. Okay. Yes, correct.
Yeah, that's the type of stuff she dealt with. Now, she has written a book. It's called Holding My Hand Through Hell.
Right.
And it's an amazing story. And what would you like to add about Susan Murphy Milano, Cheryl?
You know what, Tricia? She was just fierce. She was a warrior when it came to domestic violence. And I think because of her background, a lot of people would not have blamed her if she had gone away and was never heard from.
Mm-hmm.
Just hid out and did her own thing and brought no stress to her life. But she did not do that.
No, she didn't.
More than almost anybody I know, she walked the walk literally in the trenches. Mm-hmm. She was not afraid. She was not going to back down. And I know for me, it's really hard to even talk about her in past tense, because she was just such this amazing figure when it came to the fight and, you know, trying to support victims and do the right thing. Because she would do it at great expense to herself, being threatened, you know, not having money, not having backup, not having assistance of any kind, and she still
mm-hmm.
did it.
She did.
On a plane, she'd get in a mm-hmm. car, she'd walk if she had to. But she was just incredible, incredible.
And you're absolutely right. And she wrote books, but she didn't make any money. She had no money. But that didn't
yeah.
stop her. You're absolutely right. And that's why it's so hard to believe that she's gone, because she was such a powerful force. How could somebody so strong that could
right.
do so much with nothing, how can she be gone? And that is hard for anybody that knew her to really believe. Also, there's something called the Evidentiary Abuse Affidavit.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that was very near and dear to Susan Murphy Milano. There is a website. It's documenttheabuse.com. And, Cheryl, correct me if I'm wrong, but what she had done is set up this system where women would document their abuse, videotape, logs, whatever. That way,
correct.
If they disappeared, it could be brought forth, and they could still testify, even if they went missing.
Yeah, this is actually something Susan invented, because what we would see over and over and over is a woman would be murdered or was missing, like you said, never recovered, and somebody would come forward, whether it was a sister or a good friend or a minister, and say, well, you know what? She told me that if anything happened to her, it was her husband, or if mm-hmm. anything happened to her, it was her ex-husband. And people would say, well, that's hearsay. Can't use it in court. Well, that's asinine.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, all you got to do, to kill the victim, the witnesses are no good.
Yeah,
what?
You can't. You get away with it, and that's just
you get
wrong.
Away with it. And to Susan, that was just not logical. That was beyond reason.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, she developed this idea that if you document everything, and you're literally, it is you talking from the grave, then they have to accept it. And as far as I know, every single woman that has completed one has not been killed.
And that's an insurance policy because, you know, if you document the abuse like Susan Murphy Milano wanted you to, you document
right.
it, not only just writing it, but videotaping it, recording it. That is going to make the perpetrator think before they get rid of you because you've already testified before there's even a case. So mm-hmm. it is a safety net. It is an insurance policy. And that was all Susan Murphy Milano, wasn't it?
Every day, all day. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny because Holly Hughes and I were talking when we knew she was really, really ill and was probably not going to make it, that, you know, she's a difficult woman to say no to, Tricia.
I know.
Because I know she called me, Holly, and she was like, you know what, we got to do a radio show. And I'm like, I've never even heard of Blog Talk Radio. What are you mm-hmm. talking about? So she was on the forefront of reaching people long before the average person knew anything about reaching people through the internet.
Right.
And a lot of those shows are still there. Mm-hmm. People can download them and hopefully learn something today. So
absolutely.
I'm personally grateful for having known her and worked with her. And, you know, one of the last cases we tried to highlight as often as we could, because Susan and I were like-minded in one way,
mm-hmm.
and it's the same thing you and I share, and that is if you keep something under a spotlight, it will break, and it just
mm-hmm.
will. And, you know, so I didn't say no to her, but I'm so grateful, and the last case that we dealt with was Drew Peterson.
That's right, and Susan and you and many others kept up the heat on Drew Peterson.
Yeah.
And the fact that he got away with it for so long with his third wife's death, the fact that that was ruled as an accident for so long is what's appalling, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can imagine. Well, I did talk to Susan about it, and you're right, she was just a ball of fire when it came to that case.
Yeah, she was remarkable. But let me say this. She was just that passionate about the Jane Doe in Cincinnati
yes.
you had never heard of,
absolutely.
About the woman in Florida you had never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
She was equally as passionate. And she would a lot of times call and say, well, you've got to look this up. You just got to tell Nancy about this. You've got to do something. It would just sometimes make me laugh. Because I'm like, Susan, you got to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't know anything about that.
Yep,
she didn't know anything
right.
about taking a day off. She didn't know, even when she was really, really, really ill.
Mm-hmm.
I called her, and I was just, you know, going to let her know I'm thinking about you, you know, sending good thoughts from the South, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, yeah, that's great. I appreciate it. Listen, is there any word on if she leaves? She just launches into the case. We were working
mm-hmm.
together in Oklahoma. And I don't know. It was just funny to me that here when anybody else, you know, you're at the end of your life, you're fighting cancer every day,
mm-hmm.
And you're still not focused on yourself. You're still worried about this woman in Oklahoma. So, again,
right. She never did.
I think it's a tribute to her. That's who she was.
That's right. She never did focus on herself, ever.
Mm-mm.
It was
Mm-mm.
always the unnamed women that none of us knew that she would bring
right.
forth. And the world has lost a great person, and I know there are people like her good friend Delilah and you
yes.
and others that will carry the torch to continue Susan's work. And I think that abused women will be looking to Susan Murphy Milano's work for probably years and years to come. And I'm sure she has saved many, many lives. Once again, her book is Holding My Hand Through Hell. You can get it at icecubepress.com, probably on Amazon, but it definitely is worth the read. And you will not believe what Susan Murphy Milano went through and what she accomplished. May she rest in peace.
Can I just say one more thing?
Because
it's extraordinary.
Please.
I knew her for years, and she didn't ever talk about accolades or anything about herself.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, she just says things, and you're like, wait, go back. What did you just say? You were on the Oprah Winfrey Show?
Yeah.
Like it was nothing. Like, yeah,
right.
but... That's not what we're concentrating on. I just want you to know about. And I'm like, wait a minute, because that's
mm-hmm.
huge. That's
right.
that's a big deal. But to her, that wasn't. She didn't care about that. She cared
didn't
about
do
the work.
It for the attention. You're right. She never did it for the attention.
No.
And you would never know she was on Oprah unless you accidentally caught it, or she, like you said, dropped it in a conversation a few months
right.
After the fact. You're right. And that
right.
that what was. That is another one of her many endearing points, and that just goes to show how absolutely passionate and true to her heart this was
right.
because she grew up with it. Her father was
yep.
horribly abusive, and in the end, he killed her mother, and she found her mother's body and her father's body. So the fact she was able to get out of bed and function was amazing, let alone that she could do all this work. So hopefully we will continue Susan Murphy Milano's work. And Cheryl, you know you can always count on us on Trisha's True Crime Radio or websleuths.com to help in any way that we can in that area.
Yes.
Trisha?
Okay. Yes.
I wanted to add something that she taught me on Web Sleuth.
Okay.
Was to put the victim's name out there and not the perp.
And
a lot of times I'll be on the threads and, you know, the perp will get arrested and everybody wants to see the perp walk and they want to see his arrest picture and all that's great because we can all go, ha, he got caught. But right after that, I immediately will put up a picture of the victim. I make sure our victims are on the threads. And that was also something that makes me really, and I hopefully I've taught a lot of our members, and this is from Susan, she taught me, and that is in our unidentified forum, putting the people's names on the threads so we can remember who they were.
That's absolutely right. And that's, again, that's all she cared about was the victim. Absolutely. I can just hear her just teaching you that and making sure that that was always done on those threads. Absolutely. We will miss her. The world has lost a great person.
No doubt.
Okay, now we got to move on to the crazy stuff. From the deeply wonderful, caring person to the psychopath who killed her daughter and doesn't care. That is Casey Anthony, of course. I swear, I'm going to be on my deathbed and there's going to be a new Casey Anthony story. Well, this one involves Zenaida Gonzalez, or Zanny the Nanny. And just in case somebody has been living in a cave for the last 20 years, Zanny the Nanny was supposedly, Zenaida Gonzalez was supposedly the nanny that took Kaylee Anthony when she went missing. And of course, we know that was all made up and wrong. And unfortunately, there really is a woman named Zenaida Gonzalez who went through hell when all of this came out, that Zenaida Gonzalez, in Casey's mind, is the one who took Kaylee Anthony. So Zenaida is suing her for defamation. Now, they did have 90 witnesses listed in the case. The list has been whittled down to 24. And the names on the new witness list include Casey, of course, her parents, her brother Lee, Police Detective Yuri Millick, our wonderful, wonderful friend whom we adore and love, and two local TV news reporters. Cheryl McCollum, tell me, what are the chances, number one, of Zenaida winning, and number two, of Zenaida Gonzalez collecting anything?
I think she has a real good chance of winning. Ever seen any money? I think she might as well not count on it. This is where the law becomes so disgusting, because it's going to be a fight, and her lawyers, Casey's, are going to fight in every way to protect any future earnings. Because right now she doesn't have anything. So
right.
You can't get blood from a turnip, so they're not worried right now. But that's the reason they have held off from movies and books and any deal that could potentially make her a ton of money, because they were afraid that she would immediately lose it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to, you know, try to finagle a way to keep any future earnings safe. You know, should they develop a corporation? Should they put everything in a retirement fund so they can't touch it? It's a lot of the O.J. Simpson crap that we saw. Very similar.
Right. So in other words, let's say that Zenaida wins $20 million against Casey Anthony in this defamation case. And then Casey Anthony gets offered a movie and a book deal. There are legal ways, you're telling me there are legal ways that she can create some sort of shell company or some encase this money to where Zenaida can't touch it? That's real? That's true?
Sure. In other words, she could say, I'm going to refuse any payment, but hire my brother Lee as a consultant.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Money didn't come to her. And Zenaida can't sue Lee.
Boy, it seems like there should be a way that anything can, that when it's obvious that they are funneling the money elsewhere, that they should be able to get it. Because let's face it.
Right. We used to have the Son of Sam laws.
Right.
And the Son of Sam, you know, made a bunch of money based on his murders. And everybody said, well, you know, that's just wrong. That's just, you know, pathetic. Well, enter the First Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
You can write a book. You can write a screenplay. You can write a song And that nobody can stop you from doing that. So they said, well, those laws are unconstitutional. And if they want to make a movie and somebody wants to go see it, or they want to write a book, or somebody wants to buy it, we can't stop them from doing that. So that's one thing that happened. And the second thing that we saw during O.J. Simpson, he started to put a lot of stuff in a retirement account because they couldn't touch those.
Mm-hmm.
They could only touch what was open. And that's why Ron Goldman's father went back to court and said, okay, give me the Heisman Trophy, let me sell it. Give me some of your jerseys and let me sell
right,
it.
Right, right.
Because you have stuff. And then that, but again, what did that take Ron Goldman's father? 10 years?
Yeah,
to ever see
it was
a
ridiculous.
Dime?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he had to fight constantly. It was a constant battle. And he had means. He was by that time media savvy. And
sure.
Poor Zenaida Gonzalez is just this hardworking woman who cleans houses.
She got one shot at it. Yep.
Yeah. And so what's she going to do? I would hope, and tell me if this is logical in my thinking, that if she wins, that would Casey's lawyers go to her and say, look, we'll give you, you know, the first 100,000 or the first 50,000 that she makes in her book, or the first 20,000, and then sign off on that. Is that a possibility?
I don't know if they could work out a deal. I mean, I don't even know if she's open to that, because it did destroy her.
Yes.
So, you know, $100,000 is not going to repair what has happened to her. That's not even going to buy her a house where she feels safe enough, you know? So,
and it did destroy her. Go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. No question about it. And then, you know, she's got lawyers telling her, look, this is worth millions. So you're going to be torn and pulled in every direction. But again, it's such, I would think, an exhaustive waiting game that may never pay off.
And we all know Casey Anthony is very devious and would do anything in her power to, you know, how can I put this in the legal terms, legally screw her over big time.
Sure.
I mean, she would. Absolutely.
Sure, no question about it. And those are the people that she has around her. Sure.
Oh, that just makes me sick.
I mean, she ditched her own family. She doesn't care anything about Miss Gonzalez.
No, she doesn't. She's the last person that she cares about. Well, this is going to court. It will go to court in January. And, you know, in a civil case, there are no, I plead the fifth, right?
Well, also, the good thing is, just like we saw with O.J. Simpson, it's not beyond a reasonable doubt. It's a preponderance of the evidence. So it doesn't have to be 100%, I know this happened. It can be, it more likely happened than not. And in this case, again, I don't think there's going to be any questions for people
right.
Whether or not she did it.
Yes, exactly. And we may find out, the other good thing about this is we may find out more information about the case that we didn't know about.
Right.
You know, they're going to have Detective Urey up there talking, and they may ask him questions that he's never spoken about. So
and she may have to testify, whereas last time she didn't have to.
Exactly. And boy, you know those lawyers want to go in there and just get to Casey Anthony, just like they did O.J. And remember, O.J. didn't even show up for court for the verdict that day because he knew. And I can see Casey doing something like that.
What I think is going to be important, and this is something you could even champion, getting the information to the people.
Yeah.
So like, if you remember, O.J. goes out and writes this book. Well, then people don't know, should I buy the book or not buy the book? So nobody bought it. Well, then Ron Goldman's father, through the court system, got all rights to that book. So we should buy it now.
Yes.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So even
very
if there's
point.
A judgment of $1 million, hold off clapping till we figure out how Ms. Gonzalez gets it.
And we
because
will
we don't want to, absolutely, because if somebody says, hey, a movie's coming out and Casey's going to get the money, I ain't going to go see it.
Right.
I ain't going to buy the first book, nothing. Mm-hmm. But if there's something that's going to go toward Ms. Gonzalez, I have no problem with it.
And like you said, how would you know? And that's one great thing about Web Sleuths is we do get the information out there quickly. And
absolutely.
The media is on our side all the time picking up information. So, you know, if by chance this does get to Ms. Gonzalez, know that we will help you in any way we can.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we have a question in the chat room. And the question is, can the attorneys, they can't ask about the murder trial in the civil suit, can they? They can. Can't they pretty much ask anything they want?
Yeah, I mean, if it's relevant to what they're talking about, sure. I mean, they certainly did an O.J. Simpson, if you remember again. He denied having those ugly-ass shoes. That's a quote, the Bruno Magli shoes in the civil suit. There's the picture of him wearing them on, you know, SportsCenter or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, sure, if it's relevant, then it can absolutely come in.
And the attorneys can make it relevant. They can say, okay, Casey, you know, you said that Zanny the Nanny took your daughter.
Yeah.
And you still, I mean, I never know in her mind if she's going to come out and say, there was a Zanny or there wasn't a Zanny. And they can kind of evolve that into what really happened to Kaylee.
Sure. But again, they can ask the mother, did you ever meet her? No. The father, did you ever meet her? No. Lee, did you ever meet her? No. The boyfriend, did you ever meet Zanny? No. I mean, come on, she didn't exist.
No, she didn't.
She didn't have any money to pay her, and you just happened to go to the apartment complex where this woman had filled out an application.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Yeah. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah. Walk like a duck, quack like a duck, it's a duck.
Exactly. And we could go back to that about how Cindy Anthony just let her get away with all of this behavior from a very, very early age, from showing up at a wedding 7 months pregnant and saying she just had a swollen stomach. I mean, that is my favorite. Looking at her, I'm like, she is so beyond pregnant. And she was going around, Cindy was going around saying, oh, no, she's not pregnant. No, she's a virgin. Please.
Right.
Oh,
right.
My gosh.
Where, you know, you've used the word logic, but that's where logic, I don't understand her logic, because if you really wanted to hide it, why did she go to the wedding?
Well,
leave
exactly.
her at home.
Yeah.
But to parade her around and have people, she's so pregnant, people are asking, and then you still deny it. It's just bizarre.
It's bizarre. Well, and again, that just goes to the whole Anthony dynamic, which is something that we could study for years and years. It's one of the most fascinating, as tragic as it is, it is one of the most fascinating cases in the family dynamic, as far as I'm concerned. Because
well, they're all on the crazy train.
They are. Well, there you go. That is the best way to put it. They are all on the crazy train, and it's Cindy Anthony is the head crazy there, just leading the train, and everyone follows her behind, and they do what she says. That's what's so frustrating is they listen to her, and they don't stand up to her. And Cindy Anthony was allowed to continue this behavior as well as Casey Anthony. But like I said, Cheryl McCollum, we could go on forever and ever. We'll keep you updated on this. It goes to trial just in January sometime. Not sure if the actual date's even been set yet. Let's move on to Holly Bobo. There was a search this weekend. I have not heard if the search has turned up anything, but we can only hope. Holly's family is not giving up. In fact, they say that they'll continue searching and that they get tips all the time. So that's good. Let me just recap Holly's case briefly, okay? Now, part of this recap comes from a Web Sleuth member, N.T. Holly leaves the house to go to her car parked in the carport. The suspect either grabs her as she's walking to the carport or confronts her in the carport. At some point, Holly screams. Clint, her brother, does not hear the scream, but a neighbor does and calls 911. And this is from David Lohr on Huffington Post. According to the police, Bobo's brother said he saw a man dressed in camouflage clothing drag his sister through the carport next to the home into a wooded area behind it. And unfortunately, a small puddle of blood was later discovered by the carport. Now, local and state authorities have coordinated massive search efforts behind Bobo's home. Investigators did find items that belonged to her, like her lunch bag, cell phone, but nothing to suggest where Holly Bobo was taken. Authorities do, however, suspect the abduction was premeditated. And like I said, family members are never going to give up, and they say they're still receiving tips almost daily. So we can only hope that maybe something turned up in this search this weekend. What can you tell us about the Holly Bobo case, Cheryl McCollum?
Well, I love what the family is doing with the tip boxes, whether it's at the county fair and they have them other places around town. They put these boxes up in areas where there's not a lot of traffic.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to put a tip in there, you can do so unseen. I think that's really critical for people to know I can tell something that maybe I heard or somebody told me or something I've always suspected. You know, that's I can't even overstate how important that is. A lot of times computers are used, and they call them a silent witness. But I think in this case, having, you know, just a box where somebody can walk by casually, and apparently the tip, Tricia, had something in it, key, that maybe had not been previously put out there, because law enforcement got on it immediately and actually did a search. So it was credible to them. So that means something was in there that was spot on.
That's interesting, the tip box in places where there's not a lot of foot traffic, so the person who wants to give the tip can remain anonymous. I wonder if that was something that Holly's family came up with, or if so it's been done elsewhere. Do you know?
Well, there's variations to them. Like I said, the silent witness is something a lot of people have used, where you just pick a computer and you can put it in the back of a truck or anywhere and set it up. The problem with that is people don't want to be seen on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they don't want this, you know, people thinking, oh, you're leaving a tip. So that's why I'm saying the box, you can just walk by, drop it in, and keep it moving, and nobody sees you standing there typing something in.
Exactly.
But a lot of police departments online have a confidential spot where you can leave them information too, directly to their website. You can do it from a library computer at a college or, you know, a city or county library. You can go a lot of places and completely anonymously leave information for law enforcement.
And
so
that's
again,
what matters.
I think it absolutely, and it's so important. And this is something I cannot stress enough either. You may say, yeah, but I don't know for sure. And people always second-guess themselves. But if you know a little bit, if somebody else knows a little bit, when the right people hear all the tips, then they can line it up. And it's a beautiful puzzle at that point. It shows a very clear picture. So if you say, well, you know, I used to date a guy who said his brother probably killed her. And then we got that. And then somebody else says, yep, and he was a hunter. And this guy was wearing camouflage. And somebody else says, yep, and I know he missed work that day. Just every little bit helps.
And so you wouldn't think, okay, some guy, you know, missed work. Well, you wouldn't think that would matter. But when it's put all together with everything else, that you're right. That's what's very, very important.
That's
what's so great about the tip boxes is they can just write it down. They don't feel like that they're wasting anybody's time, and they don't feel, you know, silly or guilty or whatever. And they can just put it in there and let the police figure it out. And it is a brilliant idea. So
I love it.
Yeah, it's why. When did she go missing in April of 2011? That's just so hard to believe. And it was so bizarre. I mean, he came and just grabbed her, and it was obviously premeditated. And why? And there's so many questions. It makes me crazy. Just makes me crazy. So, Cheryl McCollum, we've known you for many, many years. You are so incredibly brilliant. And like I said, when you're on the Nancy Gray Show or the other shows, you are the voice of reason. You have something called the Cold Case Investigative Research Institute. Tell us about that.
Well, we take on unsolved homicides or missing persons cases that a lot of times are high profile, but we also take cases that nobody's ever really heard of. Mm-hmm. And we are in 9 states, and we are a college-based institute. We're college students that are studying criminal justice at the undergraduate or graduate level, take on these cases, and each college has their own area of discipline. So we have crime mapping, suspectology, victimology, crime scene analysis. And so everybody takes the case, and they work it like they would in the real world. And then at the end of a year, if it takes that long, we come back together and we figure out who done it based on what everybody's findings are. And we've had some success, but it's a great way to teach, you know, future police officers. It's also a great way to assist families when maybe other departments have kind of hit a wall, or maybe their budget cuts have gotten rid of their cold case squad. So we're trying, you know, to help as many people as we can, and we're trying to add some colleges this year because we've got a pretty substantial caseload coming up in 2013.
Well, here's the thing, Cheryl. Everybody wants to be a detective, let's face it. And I'm telling you, there are lots of women whose kids have left home who want to go back to college and to study this. And I would hope that all 50 states would be open to your coming into their state and attaching
sure.
yourself to a college. So when you pick a case and then you turn around and give your evidence to the police, do you ever find there's any resistance?
Not generally. You know, the majority of detectives that have one of these cases are so grateful
mm-hmm.
for a couple of things. They like to hear, yeah, I'll take any help. Thank you. I mean, if you just say, hey, I want to help, we're not going to talk to the media. It only goes to you. So, you know, we work it correctly for them, you know, so we're not
mm-hmm.
Monday morning quarterbacking at all. And two, a lot of times they get validated because sometimes we can't think of anything necessarily new to do because
mm-hmm.
they've done everything that's legally at their disposal. But sometimes just a fresh set of eyes, somebody might say, hey, we think it's this guy. And sometimes they say, you know what, we do too. And
mm-hmm.
this is where the lesson comes for our students. Even at the graduate level, and I've got students that have been police officers for years. They've been detectives for years.
Mm-hmm.
But they get to work with national experts. And sometimes, here's the reality. Knowing it and proving it are not the same thing.
Right.
And sometimes legally, we can't.
Mm-hmm.
We just can't. Now, that doesn't mean there's not something to learn, like working Natalie Holloway's case. Were we going to put Johan Vandersloot in prison for killing Natalie? No.
Mm-hmm. No.
No. But could we go and train police officers to be better because of Natalie? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Could we help her mother? Yes. Could we say, hey, he's going to kill again? Yeah, we did. And we
yes,
said he
did.
Would reoffend within 5 years, and
mm-hmm.
he did. Now, the sad thing is he was able to move around and go to other countries where he was virtually unrestricted,
right?
Which was a shame. But I will say that, you know, Beth Holloway has probably been one of the best teachers for my students. Cause you
really?
Put that
so
gun in badge on? Oh, yeah.
She's in there, and oh, that's great.
Whenever we take on a case, the family has to be a part of it. We don't
okay.
just take a case, you know, willy-nilly. So we need the family to be an active part. We need law enforcement to know and kind of sign off and say, yeah, appreciate it. Send me what you got, you know.
Right.
We also then have national experts like Holly Hughes and Betsy Ramsey and Leslie Bailey and Vince Velasquez and all these other people that come and the students say, okay, this is our theory. So they run their theories past these people that do know and
mm-hmm.
do understand. And they tell them, yep, you're on the right track. I think that's got some legs. Or, you might want to rethink about this. And then
right.
they explain why. And so it's remarkable, you know, to watch these young people that want to work so hard. And let me brag on y'all for a minute, too. One of our cases is Effie Mae Hall. And the
oh,
last
yes.
time I was on your show and I mentioned her, we had a huge spike in people that were posting that on Facebook. So I'm just going to appeal to you one more time. Effie Mae Hall, cold case.
I've got it in my signature on Web Sleuth.
Yes.
Yes.
Because
we'll push it back
her son
up there.
Came to us, and we all got on a big old tour bus,
mm-hmm.
and there was probably 9 experts and the victim's son, and then, I don't know, 50 students. The bus was full.
Mm-hmm.
And we drove around to every single spot that was relevant on that case, where
mm-hmm.
she worked, where she went to school, where she lived, where 2 of the main suspects lived and worked.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, you've got such a clear little pocket, and you've got this triangle that happens. And I'm one of those people, boots on the ground helps me. I'm visual. I
right.
need to walk it. I need to see it. I need to see her apartment. I need to see the front yard, the backyard, the side yard. I want to see where she worked in relation to where she lived. I want to go to where her favorite restaurant was, right? Because to me, you can't over, you know, place how important
mm-hmm.
that is, in my opinion.
Right.
So, like, for example, right now, you may have a case and you're looking at the crime scene photos, which is great. But if you don't know what's through the woods in the backyard, is it a liquor store or is
mm-hmm.
it a cemetery? Because I want to know that.
Yes.
Okay. So that's the kind of thing that, you know, we get to do, not just with experts, because, again, there's nothing I almost wish she was on tonight because I've mentioned her so many times, but there's nothing like working a case with Holly Hughes. And
yeah.
I've been on more than one scene with her. And her mind is just remarkable. And we work very differently, which I think is kind of a cool thing because we work in concert with each other.
She was on a couple of weeks ago, and she is an amazing woman. Oh, my God.
Yeah, she is. She's just cool. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she brings so much to it. Well, then the students do too. You know, because sometimes you can be so trained, you can't see it, and you
yes.
just automatically say, well, it's probably the husband, right? Where
right.
the student might say, I don't know, Mac, look at this.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, wow, didn't see that.
Exactly.
So it's awesome. And, you know, again, I've gotten to work with people like Susan Levy. We worked Chandra's case. I've
mm-hmm.
gotten to work with the son of the detective on the Boston Strangler. Remarkable people.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, so it's a great experience for me, too.
So, Cheryl, you have a Facebook page. It's a Cold Case Investigative Research Institute, right?
Right.
Okay.
I have my own Facebook page, too.
Okay, and that's Cheryl McCollum.
Sure.
And that's MCCOLLUM, and Cheryl spelled
right.
SH. So it sounds absolutely amazing and interesting, and what a great way to bring in a new crop of investigators who already have these tools. When they
right.
find a job, they're already so far ahead of their predecessors, and that can really make a difference. That can save lives, and that can solve crimes. And you, my friend, are responsible for doing that. So thank you, Cheryl. And no, like I said, anything you need from Web Sleuths, we already have Effie on our front page at websleuths.com. I'll put her in a couple of other areas so we can see if we can get another spike and maybe get some more information out there about Effie and help you solve that case. That would be wonderful if we could do it, and we'll give it our best. Cheryl McCollum, thank you so much for joining us tonight. As usual, you are an amazing, wonderful, giving person, and I appreciate you so much. You
well,
take
I
care.
I appreciate so much being here, and thanks for honoring my friend Susan. Thanks so
Absolutely.
Much.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure. Take care, Cheryl. We'll see you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Wow, Kimster. Whoops, I just hung up on Kimster. Okay, Kimster's got a call back. I just hung up on her. Let me just, I got to text her because I was trying to hang up on Cheryl, and I accidentally hung up on Kimster. Kimster, I hung up on you. Call back. There we go. Okay. And she's probably wondering what the heck happened. Anyway, that was a very, very fascinating show. I love Cheryl McCollum. She is so down-to-earth and logical, along with Holly Hughes. Both of them are just absolutely amazing women. And anyway, we are going to work on getting Effie Hall in different places on Web Sleuth so we can get another spike and maybe help find and end that case and get some closure for the family of Effie Hall. Now, let's see if Kimster has called back yet. Nope. Well, there she is. Okay. Kimster, I'm so sorry. I was hanging up on Cheryl, and I hung up on you.
Oh, I was wondering what happened.
I'm sorry. You know what? You can't have a Trisha's True Crime Radio without some sort of major mess-up, and that was it. So there we go. We're done for the night. Okay. We have all kinds of things going on. We have one of the most interesting Web Sleuth Hot Cold Cases. So, Kimster, take it away. I love your horn. That's so beautiful.
Is that why you haven't gotten me any sound effects yet?
No, I haven't, because that's just it gives me chills. You know, it grows hair on my hands. It's so beautiful.
Oh,
it is.
Thank you. Well, Trisha, this case is very bizarre, and it may also grow hair on your hands. This week's cold case is quite intriguing. Joshua Gumond went, and again, pronunciations, excuse me. I do have people correct me. They send me messages, by the way, Trisha, after the show sometimes and tell me how to pronounce it. I enjoy it. So if you guys know how to pronounce it, go ahead and do that. I enjoy those. But Joshua, we'll say Gumond for the show. Joshua Gumond went missing on November 9th, 2002, after leaving a campus party at St. John's University in Collegeville, Minnesota. You know, these kind of cases always get to me, Trisha, because, you know, I have a son in college, so
mm-hmm.
Bear with me because they give me the chills and make me feel concerned a great deal. It's funny how when cases hit closer to home, how they affect us, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, his dorm room was just a 3-minute walk from the party he was at, and
mm-hmm.
he didn't take his car, of course, or his glasses, and his credit cards have never been used since he went missing. Dive teams were sent out, and they determined that he wasn't in any nearby bodies of water. his family hasn't given up hope, of course, that the mystery surrounding his disappearance will be solved. They're still trying to keep him in the media, and they've also got a blog for him at findjoshua.com.
Mm-hmm.
The intriguing part of this case is that his family said there was fake ID processing information on his computer, and someone after Josh went missing was deleting files from his computer.
Oh, wow,
police,
that is weird.
Yeah, it is weird. And the police said they didn't find anything on it. So, you know, I don't know exactly when the police looked at the computer. I didn't find that information, but there's a lot of information on the Find Joshua site, so be sure to look there for more in-depth investigation on that. But this is the part that really is bugging me. Another twist in this case is that the family was not aware of this at the time, but there were restricted monks on the campus. Have you ever heard
of that before? Restrictive, like M-O-N-K-S?
M-O-N-K-S, yeah. I guess it was a Catholic university, and there were restricted monks there. And according to reports, when Josh disappeared, he had been writing a term paper on the university's response to sexual abuse. And yet on December 31st, 2002, authorities were denied access to search St. John's Abbey on the university campus. What these restricted monks are priests who have been put on restrictions after being accused or of admitting to sexual abuse. That's what they are.
Brother. Okay.
And I guess this school or the monastery, or, you know, I'm not Catholic, so excuse me if I get some of this wrong, but it was well known at that time for housing monks that were on restrictions, so, and priests. So anyway, that was, you know, that's kind of disturbing and something I'd never heard of before. There was also a tip I read, too, that a witness saw Joshua being thrown from a bridge in Minneapolis. There's, I don't know, you know, I don't think they've been able to find any evidence to that effect either. So, so where's Josh? You know, that's the question. Where's Josh? And this week is, it would be a really good week for everybody to go and see if they can help find out. There are a couple of members on Web Sleuths that are very involved. One appears to know the family a little bit. I'm not quite sure what their involvement is. They haven't really said with the family, but you can go there and ask some questions and hopefully brainstorm there and get some ideas. So if you want to try to help solve this case and join members who are discussing it, please go to www.websleuths.com, and in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see a picture of a very handsome Joshua, along with a link to his thread. And if you're not a member of Web Sleuths, what do you do?
Well, by golly, oh my flippin' heck, you join today. That's what we say in Utah when we want to, like, punctuate something. We say, by golly, oh my heck, or oh my flipping heck. You join. It's free. All we need is an email address, and you are in like Flint, and just you are helping with a case, and maybe you might solve one. You never know, right?
Right, absolutely. So, yeah, go in there and help Joshua. If you look around and you don't come up with anything, we have quite a few other cases you can help with.
Oh, we can help. And even, like we say every week, even if you post to a family, I'm thinking of you, it means so much to them, and they'll come on and tell you that, you know, how many times, Kimster, if we had somebody say, I was Googling my sister, my brother, my mother, my father's name to see if there was anything about the case, and it led them to Web Sleuths, and they were so grateful that somebody was discussing it. And it's just mostly people saying, hey, I'm thinking of you, good luck, what, anything you need to do, anything you need help with, you know, those types of things. So you don't need to be this great mastermind. Don't be afraid. Don't be intimidated. Just join us. That's all you need to do, right Ms. Kimster?
Yeah. Absolutely. In fact, I even have someone that wrote another deputy coroner that wrote about a member of ours. I haven't even let the member know yet, but I'll just announce it here first.
Okay.
The member was Double Stop, and they read some information that Double Stop had posted on the forum and wanted to thank Double Stop. So I'm going to be getting a hold of Double Stop here pretty soon, and, you know, within the next day or so, and letting them know. But Double Stop, if you hear it now, you heard it.
Oh, okay, I did not hang up on Kimster. I swear, I didn't. Kim, are you there?
Yeah.
Kim. Okay, you
Hello?
Broke up again. You say
okay.
The last line again.
I just said Double Stop. If you're listening, you heard it here first. You have a big thank you from a deputy coroner.
There you go. Well, Kimster, speaking of big thank yous, I want to give a quick note and a hats off to our unclaimed forum folks. They have made about 15 matches so far this month. That means they found and contacted family members of 15 unclaimed bodies. This year alone, the hardworking Web Sleuths members in the Unclaimed Forum have made about 130 matches. Amazing people like Rain and Nemo's mom and so many others. So our hats off to you and thank you so very, very, very much. Well, Kimster, that wraps up another show. Thank you, my dear. You'll be back with us next week, correct?
Yes, I will. Do you want to have bells on or no?
Yeah, well, you can wear bells. But wear something, okay. For goodness sake, okay? Oh, and you know what I forgot? The legal goo. Let's see if I have this memorized. The opinions on Trisha's True Crime Radio are those of the hosts and guests and do not reflect anybody else's whatsoever. In fact, Trisha's True Crime Radio is itself just entirely alone and is not connected in any way, shape, or form to WebSleuths.com LLC, which is a completely separate corporate entity. In other words, this is my own deal. And anything that happens here is, you know, what we do. It doesn't go anywhere else. It all stays right here on Trisha's True Crime Radio. How's that for legal goo? I don't think a judge in the world would understand what I was saying. But basically, what we say here is our responsibility, and it is not the responsibility of WebSleuths.com or ForumsForJustice.org or anywhere else on the Internet. That's what I'm trying to say. It's Trisha's True Crime Radio, where we discuss current events and true crime, and we always do it with common sense. Good night, everyone.